But for the sake of your ears, I don't want to strain your ears and I don't want to strain my throat. I shall use a mic. But I was known to be very loud because I was a prefect in school. So you got to shout the loudest above everyone else to get people in order. But it's so good to be in the house of the Lord. Amen. And this morning, we are considering the book of Acts in chapter 9. So I'm so privileged to be able to share the word in this chapter. It is my very first time, I tell you what, in my 23 years of being a pastor, it's my very first time after I prepare this sermon and I put it on the floor and I clap. I tell you what, this is amazing. So today our prayer is just clapping to the Lord and thanking Him for Acts 9. How about that? Let's all clap to the Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for the word. Amen. Amen. Acts 9, if you have got your Bible, turn to it. I won't read the whole chapter, but there'll be some verses that I would read. And if you've got your Bible, turn to that because it's a really great chapter. Two Wednesdays ago at prayer meeting, and this is prayer meeting that we're talking about in the Nolomara campus at 7 p.m. every Wednesday. Pastor Jim was the one who was leading the prayer meeting that night. And he described to God in prayer about you. And it is so good for a pastor to have a good word about the church. And he described you to God as a diamond that is so pure. Wow. Would you turn to the one on your right and say to him or her, you are a diamond. And I think to be fair to the one on your left, you need to turn to the one on the left and say, you are a diamond. I'm not surprised to hear that because in Zechariah 9:16, the Bible did tell us that we are like jewels of a crown displayed and glittering in His land. So I'm not surprised that we are diamonds and we are so pure in our faith. So when I read about the people in Acts 9, and Acts 9 have a lot of people involved in the chapter, when I read about the people in Acts 9, they actually sparkled and they really shone in their lives, as we will soon see. And when I was reading Acts 9, it's like, you know, watching a movie, and after the movie, you've got the credits that come out, all the characters and all the roles that they play. My grandson loves to watch credits, you know. After each movie, he would like, no, don't turn off the TV. I want to watch the credits. And when I was reading X9, it's like watching the credits. Wow, you get Saul the convert. You get Ananias the disciple. Barnabas the encourager. Dorcas the disciple. Dorcas the seamstress. And you get all the credits coming down. And I think it's really wonderful to know that we have got brothers and sisters in X9 that are like us. People of influence. They are people of influence. And we are, of course, so privileged to have our vision statement as we are a people of influence in Perth and beyond. So the people in X9 were people of influence in Jerusalem and beyond. And now the saga continues. We are the people of influence for Perth, in Perth, and beyond. And so because we are so alike, I think we need to learn from the true stories and the true characters in Acts 9. Are you ready? The first area of influence you need to realize is you can influence people with your conversion story. You can influence people with your conversion story. Because in Acts 9, 1 to 9, 17 to 19, it talks about the conversion of a very important man, this man named Saul. So I encourage you from the example of Saul is for you to unfold your conversion story. Let's read from verse 1 and right through to 9 and then 17 to 19. Meanwhile, Saul was still breathing out murderous threats against the Lord's disciples. He went to the high priest and asked him for letters to the synagogues in Damascus, so that if he found any there who belonged to the way, whether men or women, he might take them as prisoners to Jerusalem. As he neared Damascus on his journey, suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. He fell to the ground and he heard a voice say to him, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" "Who are you, Lord?" Saul asked. "I am Jesus whom you are persecuting," he replied. "Now get up and go into the city, and you'll be told what you must do." The men traveling with Saul stood there speechless. They heard the sound, but did not see anyone. Saul got up from the ground, but when he opened his eyes, he could see nothing. So they led him by the hand into Damascus. For 3 days, he was blind and did not eat or drink anything. And then jump forward to 17. He was filled with the Holy Spirit. And immediately, something like scales fell from Saul's eyes and he could see again. He got up and was baptized. And after taking some food, he regained his strength. These verses are the climax, the peak of Acts 9, because it involves the story of the conversion of Saul. Saul was the persecuting Pharisee, and he became Paul, the faithful apostle. He was the angry, violent man who not only breathes out murderous intents, he actually had Stephen killed and martyred as well. He was the angry, violent man, but we see through time he became the gentle disciple. He even described himself as the gentle mother who nurses her own children. What an amazing transformation. I would say every conversion story is a significant one because it rocks heaven. Do you know that when one person is converted, the whole host of angels rejoices over that person? It rocks heaven because it is an encounter with God. It is a turning point. It is a life changer. I love the song by Robin just then. I wasn't fast enough. You only sang the stanza one time, Robin. I was waiting for the next repeat, but it didn't come out. But what I gathered is to thank you, Jesus, for the blood applied. Thank you, Jesus, you have saved my life, brought me from darkness to glorious light. I've been transformed by the blood of the Lamb. And there was that first stanza that was amazing, which you go look Robin up for the lyrics, right? But that's the conversion story. I'll tell you my own conversion story. I was 15. I was in school and I had an encounter with God. I was hanging out with classmates that weren't the best behaved. Unfortunately, I was the prefect. And when you hang out with people who don't behave, you break rules. So as a prefect, I didn't set rules. I broke rules. Climb over walls, you know, just jump from inside the classroom to outside the classroom. Like, young ones, don't do this. Yeah, okay. And we laughed very loudly along the corridors. Back at those times, you know, if you laugh so loudly on corridors, you are really badly behaved. And I was a prefect. It was really bad. And one day, I had to go for my Chinese oral exam. Now, usually I'm very good in my Chinese oral, so I'm quite confident. I went to this teacher, and this teacher looked at me. She was my Chinese teacher, and she said, "Sokwa," that's my Chinese name, "Sokwa, you have changed for the worse." I really wish she had failed me, because my Chinese is quite good. If she failed me, I could improve myself. But when she said something like this, the comment really left me clueless as to what I should do. I knew that I had something lacking in my life that I could not do anything about. At that time, the historical revival broke out in Singapore, 1975. Pastor Stewart and Pastor Pauline, we are all in that revival. We are all saved in that revival. It broke out. And the class next door happened to be a class that's full of repeat students. And they were boisterous. Now I know why they're boisterous. They are so full of the Holy Spirit. And then they got me invited to, they got me to go to Grace Assembly. So Grace Assembly was just next to Crescent Girls School. I was from Crescent Girls School. And Grace Assembly was the church in Singapore that had us, supported us financially at the very first time. And because of that invitation, I got to hear the gospel. And then my friend pushed me into the prayer room at that time, charismatic prayer meeting. Oh, all the teenagers were there crying and speaking in tongues. I was also clueless, but I tell you what, I went into the prayer meeting, not a Christian. I came out of the prayer meeting a Christian and never left church ever since. In fact, this morning I was calculating how many years I've been a Christian, 48 years. 20 years in Singapore Grace Assembly, continued to Grace City Church, 28 years. Whoa. God is so good. Life is so good. Your conversion story, which you must tell someone at break time, that's your homework. Your conversion story is worth unfolding because it proclaims the power of God over your life. You were influenced by God, as I was influenced by God in that prayer meeting. I was crying and crying and crying, not knowing why I was crying, but I was crying. I was influenced by God. You were influenced by God to believe in Him, and now you are a people of influence for God in Perth and beyond. The story of Saul, he was on the road to Damascus and the light from heaven fell on him, flashed into his soul and lighted up the darkness within. And in Acts 24, we were told that it is so hard for Saul to kick against the goats of God. So goats are actually sharp pointed sticks that farmers would use to prod those very stubborn oxen. God must have been speaking to Saul all this time. In fact, when Stephen was martyred, Saul saw Stephen being martyred, and Saul couldn't understand how could a man be so pure in his faith as to die for his God. That would already have been a goad, because a goad can be a conviction, it can be a prompting of the divine spirit, it can be a scripture, it can be people that God brought along the way to prompt us to be nearer to the Lord Jesus Christ. So Saul would have already been convinced by Stephen, and yet he was also quite stubborn in his own ways. But Saul was very attracted to the zeal of Stephen. He looked at Stephen and he saw what a converted soul can be, that is so conscious of a divine voice that calls him or her to do higher things. Saul was very attracted by that converted soul. People are very attracted to your conversion. And so it is good that you know that you have got influence in your conversion story. Unfold it. If you have not told your conversion story for a long time, maybe it's time to visit your story and tell it to people that may need to hear. Because in your conversion story, you share how Jesus can reverse bent, how He can undo habits, and how He can give you the ability to see things in God's light. That's what happened to Saul. When Saul was prayed over by Ananias, scales fell from his eyes. He had new powers of perception. That's what happens to you when you are saved. Your eyes are changed. The light from heaven came into your natural light, came into your natural eyes and give you new powers of perception. Your sins are blotted out, not remembered forever. And Saul experienced a conversion, an altered practical life, a changed heart, a changed feelings, changed thoughts. I would say in this case, I'm going to use a very Singaporean word. We have got a lot of Singaporeans here today. We are so glad that Pastor Aaron and Yvonne got the whole clan of family members here today. I was told 22 people here today. Wow, that deserves a welcome clap. I'm going to use a Singapore word because this word was mentioned on 98.5. I was quite shocked that it was mentioned on 98.5. And there's this word called chope. Aussies, you will not know this word, but when I tell you, you will know this word very soon. When a Singaporean goes to a hawker center and wants to reserve a place whilst he goes and order food, they will use something, tissue paper, whatever, notepad, whatever, put it on the place they would love to sit to choke the place. Am I correct, Singaporeans? Yes, I'm an ex-Singaporean. I know these things. I've choked places before. And so this 98.5 announcer was talking about how someone who came here wanted to choke a place, but of course was not successful because nobody knows what choking is. But what was very interesting was this announcer, this 98.5 announcer said that chope actually has an original meaning. It actually comes from the word chop, which means you leave a mark. So you leave your tissue paper, a mark, on the table. This is mine. Don't touch it. So I would say that when Saul opened his life to the Lord Jesus Christ, God choked him. Because God wants to leave a mark on him. God wants to love him. God wants Paul to trust him, wants Saul to trust him, to follow him, to be his disciples. And when we open our heart to God, you are reserved by God for special things in your life. So those who are not already in the faith, I pray that you'll be open to be choked by God. And for those who already have your life given to the Lord, I pray that you will abide in Him, be centered in Him. Let Him be the potter and you be the clay. You just stay centered, abide in Him. You know, I just took up pottery. Can I share a little bit with my about my pottery experience? One of the things you must do when you go on the building wheel is you must put the clay onto the building wheel and you must choke a place. You must reserve a place for the clay to be in the center part of the building wheel, and you must make it really securely fastened, because if you don't, when you turn your wheel, your pottery pieces will go wonky. So you cone up, my pottery teacher says, cone down, cone up, down, 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 until it's fastened. Exactly that. Through your discipline in the Lord, through your faithfulness in the Lord, you cone up and down, you come to church every Sunday, you center yourself and abide in the Lord. God wants to do something incredible out of your life. God wants to fashion you into beautiful masterpieces. This is God. So your conversion story is worth telling. So make sure, at least this week, tell somebody. Somebody needs to hear your conversion story. I've told you my story, so you tell your own story, okay? Okay? Good. That's your influence. You are a people of influence. You tell your conversion story. The second area that you can have influence with is your charisma. I know the world talks about charisma as you having the influence and you having the style, you having the vibes, you know. But actually, charisma in the original Greek meaning means the gift or the power given to us by the Holy Spirit for the good of the church. That's the charisma. That's why we have charismatic church. We are a charismatic church, or we have got charismatic gifts. The gift of salvation is only the initial gift of God. God is not stingy. God is a benevolent lover, and He's a very generous giver. He won't just stop at one gift. Maybe we stop at one gift, but God doesn't stop at one gift. He wants to continually give us good gifts because He wants to demonstrate the fresh power of the Spirit. He wants us to be filled with the charisma of God. He wants us to be equipped with charismatic gifts or grace gifts. Because in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 4, 5, and 8, it says there are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. To one, there is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom. To another, a message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. And Saul, when he was converted, he was already endowed with the message of wisdom and the message of knowledge. He was able to understand Scripture. He was able to apply knowledge, and not only that, he was able to teach and clarify the teaching of God with remarkable insight. That's why in Acts 9, 19 to 22, Saul spent several days with the disciples in Damascus. At once, he began to preach in the synagogue. At once, not 5 years later, at once, he began to preach in the synagogues that Jesus is the Son of God. And all those who heard him were astonished and asked, "Isn't he the man who raised havoc in Jerusalem among those who call on his name? And hasn't he come here to take them as prisoners to the chief priests?" Yet Saul grew more and more powerful and baffled the Jews living in Damascus by proving that Jesus is the Messiah. God revealed himself to Saul. Saul's soul was awakened to divine things, and he then led a fruitful life of service and devotion. One of the things Saul did, and this is really, really interesting, he went to the synagogues, and his one mission, he disputed with the Hellenists. Who else dispute with the Hellenists, the Greek Jews? They were... Who was that who always dispute with the Hellenists and his life was threatened? In fact, they killed him. Stephen. Saul was influenced by Stephen so much that he disputed with the Hellenists. And because of the spiritual gift, the charisma that was given by God, Saul became very influential in the synagogue. Of course, he also took a lot of fearless actions, which thus caused him a lot of trouble because he came into conflict with a lot of the men there, collided with a lot of men there. And really, we need to be very wise, I think, in this day and age. Huh? If God has given you the message of wisdom and the message of knowledge, don't use it. Don't use it freely and flippantly. You know, really seek the Lord as to when the right time is, because when you give such a message as Saul did, he created a lot of havoc in the synagogue of Jerusalem. But always, always, not just have the spirit of fearlessness or a spirit of courage and boldness, is also to have a spirit of discretion. But always, always the spirit of Christ that is gentle and meek. So those who have got the teaching ability, I pray that God would use you mightily to minister, because it is through teaching that people get to hear the power of the Lord. So if you are endowed with the spiritual gift of knowledge and wisdom, I pray that your sermons, your sharing, your stories will be animated by the Spirit of God, not adrenaline, not human knowledge, but let your message be so animated by the Spirit of God. My mentor says you must immerse your sermon with prayer. It's not just words. It's not just make a public speech. It is the word of life. And so for those who are teaching, take it really seriously and really ask the Lord for help. And because we want to listen to a message that is communicated to us by the Spirit of God. Because only then can we enjoy the indwelling of the Spirit in our minds and in our hearts. And so another homework for you. One homework was to tell your conversion story. The other homework is to pray for teachers. Pray for teachers, pray for volunteers who are going to teach our children. pray for the interest in the teaching and also the zeal in being able to communicate the message of the Lord across to other people. So that's for Saul. Saul has the spiritual gift. He has the charisma of being able to present the message with power. But Peter is also mentioned in Acts 9. And Peter operates his spiritual gift of healing. This morning, Robin, you mentioned, we want to see more healing. We want to see more salvation. There are people here that are equipped with spiritual gifts of healing and spiritual gift of an evangelist. And what Peter did was he practiced it. He released it. That's why in 1 Corinthians 12, it says, to another gives of healing by that one Spirit, to another miraculous powers. And there's a name there in the Bible that I want to really be able to pronounce it clearly. And that's the name Aeneas. Can you see the word? Acts 9, are you all looking? You see Aeneas? All right, so that's pronounced as Aeneas, yeah? Aeneas, Christian, paralyzed, bedridden for 8 years. Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit and full of the spiritual gift of healing, went to him, asked him to get up, and he was healed. So if your gift is healing, you need to operate in that charismatic gifting because it has influence. Not only was Aeneas healed, those people who were living in Lydda and Sharon, and you read it in Acts 9 still, they turn to the Lord. It has influence. Don't say, oh no, this is only a small gift. Or no, my conversion story is really quite trivial. It's nothing, you know. I've heard people say, oh, my conversion story, not like I was a gangster, then I became a good person. Nobody is asking for drama. We are asking for a story. Don't despise it. Don't undermine it. Just tell it because it has influence. When Peter healed Aeneas, the whole of Lydda and Sharon, those people who were serious with the Lord, were saved. Dorcas. Peter has a spiritual gift of miraculous powers, and he was able to resurrect Dorcas from the dead. And many also believed in the Lord. Those in Joppa, where Dorcas was, they believed in the Lord. I love Dorcas. Dorcas is very relatable to me because I like a bit of needlework. Dorcas was a seamstress, and she sewed clothes for the widows. Her people group, she targeted her skills to the widows because the widows at that time, they were quite defenseless, unless, of course, the family takes care of the widows, if not, or the church takes care of the widow, if not, they are quite defenseless. And so what Dorcas did was Dorcas sewed clothes for them. So I can imagine the house of Dorcas. So for those who have got thread and fluffs and fabric in your house, take comfort that someone in the Bible has actually gone before you to do something like this. She was able to turn a skill or maybe turn a hobby into charity. What she did was she being endowed with the spiritual gift of help and mercy, took time to sew for the widows until the widows were so touched by her when she died. The widows came crying and asking for Dorcas to be brought back to life. And Peter, struck with the compassion for Dorcas and also having the spiritual gift, raised Dorcas from the dead. Wow, Dorcas and her tangible influence. Do not despise your needle. Do not despise your sewing machine. Amen. Do not despise your wool, your fabric, because God can help you turn those things into wonderful service to the people around you. Whether it's sewing, it's gardening, it's cooking, whatever it is, turn your hobby to the Lord. Turn your skill to the Lord and see what He wants to do with your skills. I just met John Friend the other day at the bank. Yeah, John Friend, and he sends regards to Pastor Stewart and Pastor Pauline. And he was with the wife. And so they said, oh, you two guys are retirees now, referring to Henry and myself. And they says, oh, what are you doing? What are you doing with most of your time? And then we told them a few things. And then the wife showed me pictures of those very cute knitwear for babies. And she made quite a lot of them, beautiful ones. And she says, I give these clothes to preemies, the premature babies that need that warmth, that need that clothing. See, turn your hobby, turn your skill into charity. I believe when you begin to ask the Lord to use your spiritual gifts, you will be a powerhouse. Amen. But you said, but I don't know my spiritual gift. That's a good question you are asking, because I'm going to give you the answer to that question. I have printed out 40 copies of the spiritual test, and they're all at the reception. Do help yourself. If you really want to say, oh yeah, what is mine? Okay, go out there, do the test. The questionnaire is 100 over questions. It's nothing, okay? It's nothing. All right, go do those questions. The instructions are very clear, but I would like to be present next week at the same place at the reception area for those who have done your test and want to talk. We can talk. Or for those who want to ask questions, you can ask questions. But head out after the service. Go get your test done so that you know what you are best at. What has the Spirit given to you? Because when you operate in your charismatic gifting, I tell you what, you will be matching your skills, very sharp, strategize. You'll be matching your skills and your spiritual endowment and your charisma to the needs around you. You'll not be like flailing your arm, what I do, don't know, random. Just see what happens now. Strategic, all right? Strategic. Amen? Who wants to do the test? Wow, more than 40. Okay, if there are not enough copies, just let me know. I will go get some copies, or let me know your names. I can print more copies for you. I can give it to you maybe next week. All right? So first thing, you have got influence, because you're a people of influence. That's your vision statement. And also God calls you a people of influence, and you have got influence in your conversion story and in your charisma. So operate. Utilize your charismatic gifts. And the third thing is, people always say this, you can have all the charisma, but without this other thing, your gifts may go underwater. And it's quite true. The third one is your character. Your character. The type of character God is looking for is a type of character that can undertake a challenge. Because if you can undertake a challenge, and God can give you task to do. And somebody said, I am ready anytime. Wow, I love that. If you are ready anytime for God to guide you, even into difficult tasks, then I think your character will come forth very strongly. Because when your character is tested under fire, then your character is shaped. Robin, you led this morning the verse. I managed to get it down. It says, there is a faith that rises through the flames. And this type of faith that rises through the flames, that even though you're being fired, you're put through the furnace, you're in the crucible, this type of faith, when it rises above the flames, will create your character. Oh, powerful, huh? I can feel fire in my belly. And Barnabas is one such person in Acts 9. Wow, the credits are coming now, huh? Like the end of the movie. Barnabas is one such person who puts his life on the line. Because remember, the disciples were very afraid of Saul, because he was the one who killed Stephen, and he was the one who was shouting murderous threats to the Jews. And even the disciples themselves, the 11 disciples, minus Judas, the 11 disciples, having the replacement, so 12, the 12 disciples were afraid of Saul because they could not believe that he really was a disciple. But Barnabas, the man of character, I love it. The man of encouragement. He heard the story of Saul. He heard how Saul went preaching. And he heard all those stories about how he was preaching in the name of the Lord. And Barnabas believed Saul's story. And so because Barnabas, his name is the man of encouragement, he was so predisposed towards Saul, he began to take him by the hand. He brought him to the disciples and he vouched for him. And because of that, Saul was able to move freely in Jerusalem and speak boldly in the name of the Lord. Church, we need to be a people of influence to be able to open doors for some of the brothers and sisters that may not be so popular or may not be so charismatic or may need encouragement. We can't be hanging around with people who are always so upbeat, so hyped up. We need to hang around with disciples that are not so hyped up, not so attractive, maybe a bit long-winded. Maybe, you know, doesn't give us anything to go home with. We need to be the ones that come like Barnabas, son of encouragement, man of encouragement, a friend that takes us by the hand in the hour of need. This is the sort of character that God is looking for. And so Barnabas fulfilled what Romans 12 talked about, fulfills what Paul later wrote in Romans. He says, "For just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, we have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. Your gift is to encourage, then give encouragement." So if your gift is encouragement, give encouragement, because there are times when people may need to borrow your influence, just as Saul borrowed the influence of Barnabas to be able to be in the good books of the disciples and to be able to preach the word of God. Open some doors for some people, huh? They can't come in through those doors themselves because of whatever the reasons are. Open some of those doors for them, because you are the people of influence. You've got character. You've got reputable posture. You may be able to open some doors for people. And I tell you what, if Saul did not have this door open, then we would not be reading Romans at all. Hallelujah. God is good. The other person that is of character is Ananias. Ananias was given a very hard assignment. Ananias was called by God. Ananias, God appeared to him in a vision, and God says, "I want you to go to this place to restore the sight of Saul." How many times have you been given a very difficult task? You say, "God, it's not me. Don't call me. Call somebody else." In my life, actually, I'm quite comfortable, but God always called me into very difficult situations. It's like, why call me, God? Call somebody else. Ananias felt exactly the same. Ananias said, "Lord, do you know? Have you heard these reports?" As though God didn't know. "Have you heard these reports about this man, Saul, and the harm that he has done to your people in Jerusalem? God, if you only knew, you would not have called me." But God didn't answer back, of course. You know, God is like, I know. That's why I'm calling you, because this guy is going to be suffering for me in future. I need you to go because I know you're a man of character. And of course, Ananias was that man of character. He obeyed. He obeyed. He went. He took it as simple duty, as clear as noonday, the voice of God that asked him to go to Straight Street to restore the site, even give him the address. Straight Street, where Paul was. You read Acts 9. We need a friend, and Ananias, in our early Christian life, really, because, you know, sometimes we're not worthy, but someone comes along and believed in us. Believed in us. And when Ananias went to Saul, without verifying, like, "Saul, are you the disciple that Jesus called you? Are you the one that Jesus said is going to suffer for the kingdom's sake? And are you the one who's going to be the apostle?" No checking of credentials. What did Ananias call him? "Brother Saul." Ay, so trusting, man of character. Because he trusts God. Don't need to trust people, because that's what the Bible tells us, you know, love them. Because it's hard to know who to trust. If you rely on trust to love people, then you'll be very reserved. You can't love a lot of people. Yeah? But trust God and love people. And God may call you for some things which are tough. They can be promptings of his own spirit or even promptings from various leaders in the church. And some of the work that are being proposed to you may seem surprising, maybe not so desirable, maybe even useless, like, doesn't match me, doesn't suit my style. But I pray that if you are really called of God, that you will respond to it and say, yes, I am available, here I am. And you will do the most needed and useful work. If Ananias had said, no, I'm not going to go to Straight Street. I'm not going to go to Saul. You know who he is. I'm not that tough guy. I'm a gentle guy. I'm not going to go to a rough person. Then there wouldn't be a Paul. I pray that when God calls us, that we will willingly and cheerfully say, yes, Lord, if you called me, then I will go. Because God is looking for men and women of character who would pursue the way of love. Faith, hope, love. The greatest is love. I love the last verse of Acts 9. Peter stayed in Joppa for some time with a tanner named Simon. I have got a point around this verse. It's very interesting, because Simon the tanner is not very favored, no charisma in Jerusalem. Because if you're a tanner, you actually have a lot of dead animals in your house. And you've got to make leather out of them. Leather is nice. If you smell your leather bag, whew, so nice. But if you smell the raw product of leather, it's not so nice. Because, you know, blood and flesh and rotting stuff all in the same room. So the whole place must be reeking with bad smells. And tanners are frowned upon by the people in Jerusalem. They don't want to go near to the house. You know, some houses, you know, they are like that. And Simon's house is like that. Weird smell about them. And yet, we were told, Peter pursued the way of love. Man of character. Not perturbed by smell or sight or hindrance. Went to stay with Simon for some time. And because he stayed there for some time, he was able to provide a lot of opportunities for a lot of people to receive the gospel of Christ. GCC, we are people of influence. Our trademark and our branding needs to be kindness. The ladies did kindness last Saturday or just yesterday. Kindness is to be our branding and our trademark. Must be kind to people who don't produce that kind of smell you want to smell or have the house that you want to be visiting. Peter stayed there for some time. And last of all, there is a group of people that were unnamed in Acts 9. They are men of character. Because when they realized that Saul was in trouble, what did the unnamed disciples do? Acts 9, 23 to 24. He says, they took Saul and lowered Saul in a basket to prevent him from being killed by the Jews. These are what I call the unsung heroes. If you haven't watched the movie Unsung Hero, go watch it. It's a really good Christian movie. Okay? Go and give them some money. It's a really good movie, a Christian movie. Unsung heroes, unnamed disciples. Some of the things that you do not have credits, you know, like, oh, did credible job, but no name, anonymous. A lot of you are doing a lot of anonymous things. I know. It's very hard to name everything you have done. There are some things that you have done. Some of you do things secretly to bless somebody. We do all these things, they're unnamed, but it is mentioned in Acts chapter 9. They are also known as the people of influence. They are also known as the disciples of Christ. They may not be known to the other disciples in Jerusalem, but they are known to the God of all disciples. So whatever you are doing, If it's anonymous, well, the Lord will reward you secretly also. Amen. GCC, are you people of influence? All right, then stand. Do stand with me. I want to say to you, your conversion story has power to influence other people to Christ. You unfold it frequently, tell it frequently. Go and shape your story, craft your story. If you want someone to help you, just to summarize your story in a few sentences, seek out those people who can do that and unfold your conversion story frequently. It can be the power of Christ for someone in Perth and beyond. Your charisma is very important to God, and that's why the Holy Spirit comes to bring you many spiritual gifts, because the world around you need you to share your gifts. You need to uncover. Don't hide your gifts. You need to go and do the test, uncover your gifts, and then match your gifting to a role that is comfortable to you and being able to meet the needs of people around you as well. I charge you and with that ability to function the best in your spiritual gifts, because I trust the Holy Spirit in you. And your character, people of influence, GCC, needs to be one of love and kindness. Whatever your status is, whatever your educational level is, you are to be compassionate. You are to be humble, always pursuing the way of life. Because when you undertake challenges that are given by the great God, the God who sees your future, and the God who destined you for greatness, your character will be transformed, and the glory of God will be revealed in you. Let us pray. Father, I thank you so much. Oh, that you call us diamonds. You call us gems on your crown. And we are to glitter and shine in your land. Lord, you have given us this land to live, at least for this time. Some of us are on holidays, but we've got a country of origin. Dear Lord, you know where our land is. Help us to glitter and help us to shine wherever we are. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I pray, dear God, we will shine in our story of our lives. We will shine in our charisma. I pray, dear God, that your people will be made aware of all the spiritual giftings that are in them, that they will be courageous to let some of these giftings come out and be shared amongst God's people and even in the community. I pray, dear God, an uncovering of spiritual gifts. And I pray for character to be developed. Some of you are going through hard times. Hard times produce good character. That's just God's recipe for success. I pray, dear God, that as your people go through hard times, as they go through fire, that they will rise above the flames. They will come out like Daniel, unhurt by the flames, but instead be a shining light for you. Oh God, I desire for GCC, dear Lord, that man of influence, that woman of influence, of character and charisma. I give you thanks, dear Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Well, that was powerful. Can we give thanks, Pastor Kara, for sharing with us the word? It's really amazing. So Pastor Kara has already given us the summary: unfold your conversion story, uncover your charismatic gifts and character that can undertake a challenge. So I'd like us right now to just take a bit of time, and this will be our personal response to the message, to the Word of God for us this morning. Would you now just ask the Lord to show you what is it that He's speaking to you this morning? What is it that He's prompting you in your heart this morning? Is He prompting you on your conversion story? The remarkable greatness and the power of God in your life that you have personally experienced and witnessed. Or perhaps you might be thinking, do I have a gift? The truth is, every single one of us has at least a gift. And in fact, He gives more than a gift. And the third thing is this: character. He's shaping us to be beautiful masterpieces. He is the potter, and we are meant to be His masterpiece. So would you this morning, my question would be, would we this morning be willing? Are we willing to submit ourselves to the One who has created us, who has meant for us to be beautiful masterpieces, to submit to the One who will shape us into a masterpiece? Are we willing? Would you put yourself into the potter's hands and say, Lord, here am I. Use me, Lord. Let me be your instrument of peace, your instrument of blessing, your instrument of encouragement to whoever that you will bring into my path. Here am I, Lord. And would we now say, Lord, here we are as a church, Grace City Church. Use us, Lord, as your people of influence. You have called us together here in this place by your name. Here we are. Use us, Lord.